So, yeah, thanks for your card. That was beautiful.
I was pleased with it, and I got it to you on time, I think.
You did get it to me on time. It was definitely the most moving. I did actually put it up on our Facebook page, but for the benefit of those listeners who don't do the Facebook, like you, for example.
Like me, yeah, I had no idea you'd done that.
Yeah. I received a card that on the front cover has a lovely picture of a feather saying, "So sorry for your loss." Thinking of you inside.
Yeah.
And then it said this on the inside cover. It says, "I decided that for this special birthday, I would write you a nice story. There once was a man called Joe. One day he was 60. And then not long after, he began the inevitable decline towards oblivion. Also, he had to wear special pants because of leaks. The end."
I don't know about you. I've got a tear in my eye.
It's beautiful. I mean, your short storytelling is just getting better and better, in my opinion.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to episode 322 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page, and there, presumably in his special pants, is Joe Davis.
Indeed, yes. Hello. Older and wiser. Well, older anyway.
Do you know what? I was a bit worried, actually, because normally, a normal week, I cannot stop you contacting me, much as I try. You know, there's texts coming in and pictures of sunsets and phone calls, missed calls and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And this week, I sent the card and then radio silence. Didn't hear a thing from you.
Is that right?
And I thought, yeah. I thought, oh no, I've really upset
you. I was really offended.
I thought, I've finally done it after years of trying. So, yeah.
Sorry, Matt, it's just been busy.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
Don't worry. Oh, you're going to get lots of pictures in the coming weeks. So don't you worry. I'm more than going to make up for it.
I'm glad to hear that. So, church notices to start with.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. So we're having a break. We're on a break, Nick. It's a trial separation.
Yes. The counsellor suggested it, really, didn't he?
They did. And I think we both agree with the reasons.
We do.
Yeah. So I'm actually taking a break. I'm going to visit my sister-in-law. I'm on holiday. So that's wonderful. So there won't be a podcast next week. And then the following week, we will have a podcast with the absolutely fabulous Becca Legg, who's going to be talking about her work and a little bit about grief as well. So that's great. And then they'll have another break and then we'll be back.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, the interview is very good. There will be many rebukes, though, along the way about the sound quality, as normal, I'm afraid.
Of course there will be, because that's just the kind of guy you are.
Well, it's the kind of guy you are as well. I mean, so how many years have we been doing this? 8 years?
So I'm afraid it's 8 long years.
I think technically you've got worse. I think this is the worrying thing.
You should be being nice to me. I'm 60 now. I mean, surely that means something.
No, because I think morally you've got worse as well, actually. But anyway, apart from all that, how are you?
I'm great. I was 60 on Sunday. I put my back out on Monday.
Welcome to
embracing
the 60s.
Walking like an old man. I was very touched by your card. I'm good. I mean, it's been a heavy week. It's been a heavy season. I think I've hinted at the fact that I have not found this year particularly easy. Did a funeral for a friend on Tuesday. That was sad. But it's been heavy, but hey, I've got a holiday coming up, so I'm feeling very happy and grateful for that. I'm loving spring. We've even had some sunny weather that has helped. I think pretty much all is well. Thank you very much. And I will be back fresh and sprightly and sending you texts all the time in a few weeks' time.
I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
How about you, dear boy?
Yeah, all right. Very busy weekend. Took my my mother and my stepfather down to Southampton and put them on the Queen Mary.
Did you know?
Yes. Oh. I don't know how Queen Mary felt about it, but, you know, she She had no choice. We just chucked them on her. No, they're going on a cruise, so that's nice. I've never delivered anyone to a cruise ship before, and I was expecting it to be a bit more romantic. You know, I was expecting to sort of drive up dockside and see the ship above you.
Yeah, of course.
But you actually sort of go into a large warehouse by the ship, and you sort of offload them like a piece of luggage, really. And so you don't really see the ship very much. Anyway, but it did make me want to go on a cruise. I thought, oh, yeah, I wish I was going on them. But anyway, okay. They did that. And then, of course, there was one of the big highlights of the year around here, I think, for anyone, in fact, too, the Abingdon Model Railway Society annual exhibition.
Okay, good. Good nerd points. I'm sure it was wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I bet
it was. Actually pretty wonderful. Yeah. It was amazing, really. There's amazing stuff there. So I enjoyed that. And then this weekend, I've got it's a reunion. It's not really a reunion because we've seen each other loads over the years, but it's lots of old friends, people who were at our wedding and my brother and people like that, you know.
Yes.
Lots of big get-together.
Yeah.
They're all my closest friends, really. All the ones who mean the most to
me. Yes, exactly. All the ones that matter to you. Yeah, I'm not there. I know. It hurts a little bit, but I understand. Is this going to be the murder mystery weekend?
This is the murder mystery. Oh, man, that's doing my head in. I tell you, it's doing my
head
in.
Why did you do this to yourself?
I don't know. Well, I didn't. I sort of got corralled into it, but I'm quite enjoying it, to be honest, because it's nice sort of sorting a puzzle out. But, there's a lot of work involved in one of these, but it should be fun. Yeah, so we can go and do that.
Great.
Yeah.
And how are you, dear listeners? How's it going, all 17 of you?
Let me just listen in. They say it's mixed.
Yeah, there's no world news. It's a very, very quiet time for world news. Nothing's going on.
And of course, we don't necessarily reflect it anyway, because a lot of world news these days seems to happen on Fridays after we record the podcast.
Yes, exactly.
So we miss it.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, I'm going to go straight into feedback now. Okay. And we're not going to do too much today because, of course, we all know that the new year is coming soon on March 25th. We're all very excited about all the various things we're planning to do. And we're going to discuss our themes in a while. But just a couple of bits of feedback that I want to mention. One is from beloved listener and friend Tom, who, do you remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how we're coping with this crazy world that we live in. And what we actually said was, you know, focus on the world around you, the people in your orbit. And I think we were trying to sort of say, look, you've got a kingdom that's got influence, you know, focus on that, what you can do, how you can bring peace and the people around you. And we got a mild rebuke from Tom, who rightly pointed out that if we're not careful, we were sort of siding with Vice President Vance.
Oh, what a horrible thing to say to anybody.
I know.
Really.
I know. His view was that you love your own family first and then your own country first. And if there's any room left over at the end, you might love other people. So he said, I think he was just trying to point out, and the more I've thought about it, the more he is kind of right, actually, that the danger of what we are saying is that you could very end up not caring about the neighbour of yours who lives further away. So thank you for that, Tom. And I'm only mentioning this because I think this is something we need to come back to.
Yeah, I loved the emails, and I think that was a really good point. You know, the thing about doing a podcast is you sort of, it's hard to always appreciate the nuance of what you're saying or what might be heard in a way. So you say one thing that feels clear to you, and then you often I go away and think about it, think I didn't quite mean that or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's always a case of having to go back and rethink about things. So yeah, I think we should pick that up a bit later and talk about that more. But I did appreciate, well, we've known Tom for a long time, but I did appreciate the tone as well.
It was
very lovely.
Yeah, bless you. And also, Philip wrote in, and I just thought I would just do this one because he just had an interesting observation. He said, "Dear Joe and Nick, wow, what an object lesson in cultural contexts. We just today, Tuesday, listened to the podcast on the weekend. We were surprised at first to not hear any mention of the Trump-Zelensky bust-up on Friday. But of course, that was not in the cultural context of your recording of the podcast." Precisely, Philip. He says that was done pre-bust-up and pre-arms cancellation for Ukraine. We now live in a very different world from when you two were last podcasting. He says this contributed to the epiph I had on a hill overlooking the Thames and Dorchester Abbey today. Yeah, exactly.
Lovely. What a lovely place to have an appear.
It is. He said, I feel totally gutted by the new approach to transatlantic relations, European security, American isolationism, US-Russian relations, international trade deals, blah, 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 blah. Many of the assumptions I have carried from my first career in the RAF have been soundly rattled by these seismic changes. I feel thoroughly shaken up and deeply concerned about the future. The epiphany was that this is just what many traditional church folk must feel when we start talking about different interpretations and even approaches to scripture and all the traditional ways of being church. How very unsettling this must feel for them. How thoroughly shaken and deeply concerned they must feel about the future. This leads me to my New Year's resolution. Oops, I've forgotten the word. It's themes, Philip, themes. He says, anyhow, I need to be far more conscious of the trauma that my new perspective post-mid-faith crisis or faith may cause those who have not had a similar experience. I need to be more patient, kinder, more gentle and restrained, more Christ-like. Sorry if that's too broad a resolution, but to get this in and sent to you hopefully before you record the next podcast all about such resolutions and after my pith means things are a little woolly and vague. In other words, someone has taken my pith. Blessings, grace and peace, and that's from Philip.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
Marvellous.
You. It's great, isn't it? And just a really important point. I mean, we take for granted, I think, that anything is open to questioning on this podcast and, you know, nothing is so sacred we can't talk about it and question it. And sometimes it's good to be reminded that actually this is an immensely vulnerable exercise for many people who will feel a bit scared and a bit shaken as they start to look at things a bit more closely, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it's always difficult to sort of choose your moments in some respects and to know quite when. Personally, I always find it difficult to know when to open my mouth and when to shut it.
Yes, you do.
More the latter than anything else. And how to deal with the fact that you might be feeling, well, if I don't say what I think here, am I lacking integrity? Am I lacking authenticity? If I allow people to think,
yeah,
you know, that I'm with them, for example, or whatever, that I agree with them, how helpful is that? I've found myself in that situation lots. I think in the end you have to, Philip's approach is great, I think, in the end, you have to sort of be as gentle as you can,
yeah,
and to try and find some ways to indicate that you might be in a different place, but our job is not to shake the faith necessarily of those around us, I think.
No.
Maybe in some cases some people need a bit of a shake, but I think, you know, we shouldn't charge in with it.
No, exactly.
We should understand people at different places, yeah.
Yeah, to remain gentle and kind and to just be able to say, I see things differently and leave it at that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Okay, well, listen, we're not going to do any more feedback, even though we have had such wonderful emails in. Thank you to everyone who's written in. I hope I've replied to you all. We're just cutting this bit a little bit short because we wanted to talk about themes.
Yeah, so we will come back to feedback inevitably when we run out of content later in the year, which will be about 4 weeks' time when we come back, really. But this is our annual themes episode, which is normally happens at, you know, the Mid-Faith Crisis New Year, March 25th. I say normally. I don't think it ever has happened on March 25th because I think you're nearly always on holiday. I rebuke you again for that.
Thank you for that rebuke. I receive it.
Thank you. Thank you for receiving it.
For any new listeners who don't know what we're talking about, we decided some years ago that we wouldn't have New Year's resolutions. We instead would have themes. Would you like to briefly explain the difference between a New Year's resolution and a theme?
Well, the thing about New Year's resolutions is they're things sort of you're going to do. And they tend to be sort of quite reactions, perhaps not thought through incredibly. You've got to do them because it's New Year and everybody sits at a table and say, what's your resolutions? And you do them. And basically, they're very black and white. They tend to be sort of success or failure, don't they? So I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week, you know, or something. And then immediately you've set yourself up in a sense for failure because you might do that, but you might go only 2 times a week, or you might go once, or then you tail off and you don't go at all. And so you feel like you've failed. The idea of setting a theme for the year is that it's a bit more open. And lots of things can feed into it. And it's not a question of success or failure. It's a question of what have I done this week towards that theme? How have I helped that along? You might have sort of goals within that and tasks you've got to do, but that's up to you. Broadly speaking, it's a kind of, I don't know, it's a sort of course that you're going to sail on, the star you're going to follow for the year, you know, something to sort of guide you in a whole range of behaviours. So it's a lot more broader, really.
Yeah.
That was the idea, anyway. It's not my idea. I found it on another podcast, but I've always found it incredibly helpful.
Yeah. And so last year, we had themes. Mine was what I called eventually nature churching.
Mm.
And yours was?
Focus, as a friend of mine called it from Poland. Focus.
Yes.
Focus was my theme.
Thank you for that pronunciation.
Well, it made me laugh. Yes. So how was your? Should we reflect on those first? How did that go for you that year? The nature churching, because actually, as I recall, and as I get older, it's harder to recall back even a year. You found it a little hard to settle on the theme. It took a while to sort of solidify, as it were.
It did. It took me a few months in. But I mean, I don't know. I think on the whole, there were definitely elements of nature churching. So this was the idea of just taking church outside and learning to be more church outside. And I wanted to explore that. And I wanted to talk to Dave Steele about his research, his PhD. I wanted to read around it and I wanted to practice it more. I think I did to some extent, but I certainly didn't get into it as wholeheartedly as I assumed that I would. We did start a new group. Well, that started the beginning of this year, calendar year, not actual new year, obviously. It started in January. And that is a group called Undefined. It doesn't meet in nature, but the intention is that we will now do a number of things. So there is an intention at the moment to have an Easter service that will be outside and in nature, either on the beach or in the woods or something. So there are plans afoot. It didn't go as far as I wanted it to go, in all honesty. And that is in no small part, I think, down to this kind of year of grief I've had. And I'll say a bit more about that when I come to talk about this year's theme, really. Mm. It stymied me in all kinds of ways, that. But that said, it's still very much at the front of my mind. So although I'll have a slightly different theme this year, that theme is going to be continuing very much because it's a passion of mine and, you know, I want to pursue it and further. So that's my roundabout rambling way of saying it didn't really go that well and not as well as I expected.
But I think that is, again, the strength of a theme, because the theme can go on. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to just be one year. Now you go, well, I didn't do that well, so we'll cut that. You can carry it on.
Yeah,
exactly. It can sort of continue. And so I think that it can take account of, you know, different circumstances. And you have had a difficult year.
Yes.
So that's understandable. Yeah. I think that in many ways, nature has meant more to you this year.
Oh, golly.
I think it's been very, very important this year. But maybe it was the churching bit that's taking some time to develop.
Thank you for saying that. You're absolutely right. I mean, again, I was down first thing on the morning down the beach today, as I have been every day this week, amidst a very busy week. And it's been essential for me just to connect with the sea and the tides. And we've had beautiful weather and I've been watching the Brent geese as they flying back, presumably.
Perhaps on Siberia.
Yeah, maybe they are. I mean, she gets around, Queen Mary, doesn't she?
She's fairly quick over the waves, that woman, I tell you.
So, yes, yeah, no, you're exactly right. The connection with nature has most definitely been there. But the focus on nature churching specifically hasn't developed quite as much as I'd like. Yeah. But how about you, Mr. Man of Focus?
Yes. Well, I think it worked very well, actually. And I did put a lot of effort into it. And I did a particular course called A Life of Focus, which was much more than just sort of work. And I've more or less sort of kept that up in terms of trying to be intentional about what I work on. And in many ways, the theme I'm going to talk about, this year's theme, sort of grows out of kind of things I've discovered on that year. So I chose that because basically I was finding it very hard to focus.
Right.
You know, I'd lost the skill of it. In such a sort of distraction-oriented society, mm-hmm. I was finding it really hard to do long periods of focused writing, for example.
Right.
You know, or do simple things like reading and stuff like that, which to me have been lifeblood. That's what I do.
Yeah, of course.
So actually, it was a really good theme and a really good year from that point of view. I mean, there were lots of other difficulties with it, but I think that professionally and personally, I think it's been a really important time, and it's something I need to continue. The danger is you can slide off it so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, we have such an attention-grabbing culture that's constantly trying to pull you away from that.
I just wondered, are there any sort of key practical things that you've done to aid focus in the year?
Yeah, so there's a few things. I mean, one is to almost completely come off standard social media.
Yeah.
You know, well, I am off it. I mean, I'm not on any of the main channels at all. I am on a thing called Mastodon, which is a federated thing. It's sort of like Twitter, but for nerds, really. But it's quite interesting. But the other is to actually replace that with writing a blog, which I do every week now, a blog piece.
Right.
And so that helps me think about and reflect more on what we talk about, for example, in the podcast. And broadly speaking, it's to use technology against technology. You know, so I have modes set up on some of my devices that means I cannot go on certain sort of websites or whatever between 8:30 and 1.
Brilliant.
Just or at least I can if I absolutely need to, but I have to I have to make that decision. I can't just suddenly watch YouTube videos.
Mm.
And you know, that sounds extreme, but it sort of trains you, really.
Yeah.
And the other practical thing is I've just learned to sit a bit more, because I was finding I was like writing a paragraph and then getting up and walking about.
Oh, right.
It was that bad, yeah. And now I've done, you know, much longer periods. I feel like gradually sort of getting this aged brain back into some sort of shape, good. Really. Yeah, so it's been a good year from that. The theme, I think, worked really well.
Great.
Yeah.
And listen, if anyone did want to follow your blog, how would they do that?
Well, I think the easiest way is just to go to, if you go to nickpage.net, you can find a link to the blog there, or you can find a direct link in the show notes that accompany the podcast. That's probably the best way to go there, I think.
Superb. Thank you. Right. Well, I reckon it's time to do themes for 2025/26.
Do you want me to go first? I'll go first.
Yeah.
Because actually, as we've just been doing focus, it kind of grows out of that. My theme for the year... And I'm still working on it a little bit, but my theme for the year is less is more. That's my theme.
Less is more. Okay, yeah.
Less is more. Bit of a cliche, I know. But it sort of grew out of the year of focus in that I realised how much of my focus is distracted because of choice.
Yeah.
Because there is so much other stuff available to you.
Mm.
There is an argument to say that we got a lot more done in some ways in the past because we had so little options of, you know, anything else to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I was hugely prolific as a writer before there were all these other bits that stopping me. So, you know.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I just have felt more and more overwhelmed by stuff.
Mm.
Not just physical stuff, although that is a big part of it. I have got too much stuff. Even after moving, we downsized, we got rid of it. I've still got loads of stuff. Mm. And I find that overwhelming, and it just surrounds you. So one of my solid goals, as it were, this year is to get rid of some of that stuff. But it's not just the physical stuff. It's the other stuff. It's the mental stuff. It's the stuff that crowds in on you the whole time. We talked earlier about stuff that's going on in the world. That is absolutely draining at the moment.
Yeah.
There's stuff on the internet to read or to watch or to you know, to get hold of. There's an endless list of TV. There's more TV than you can ever
watch. That is true. Yeah.
And every week somebody else recommends something to me that sounds really good. And I haven't even got through the last bits.
No, well, listen, when you've watched Ted Lasso, I won't say another word. I won't. That'll be it.
But, you know, this is it. It's exactly. kind of like, yeah. there's everybody's got a good program because there are lots of good programs out there. But you feel like, oh, I ought to watch that, and then it gets added to the list like the pile of books by your bed. And so I want to sort of get rid of that pile of stuff, the mental stuff that's all around you. Do you ever watch, talking of TV programs, do you ever watch Stacey Solomon's Sort Your Life
Out? Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Do you know what? It's marvellous.
It is. And she's wonderful.
So this is a program where she and her team, they go and help people declutter, basically. But they are real people in need of it. They are serious hoarders, you know. And so physically, their houses are full of things, you know, and it's fascinating. And they lay it all out in a warehouse. And sort of that's what I'm doing this year, but not with things, but with all the mental landscape. I want to lay it out in the warehouse and say, what deserves my attention?
Yeah.
What can I declutter? What can I get rid of? You know, because I think mentally and attention-wise, we're all hoarders. We've just got loads of stuff and it's piling up around us.
Yeah.
So less is more is sort of about that. I don't think it's necessarily going to be pleasant, actually, because I think one of the things we do with this stuff is we use it to insulate ourselves from the world. So we accumulate all this knowledge, all this stuff in order to make us feel like we're in control.
Yeah.
You know, we know what's going on and we can control it. And, you know, with me, with technology and all this stuff, I can sort it all. I think if you go with less is more, that actually you're giving away quite a lot of control in a way, because you know you won't have the stuff to necessarily support you to make you feel comfortable. You might have more time, and then what do you do with that time? I'm sort of thinking it might not be always pleasant, but I think it's part of a whole way of thinking now that I need to be really intentional about the time I have, because I have less time now than I used to. I don't mean that in a way of sort of my week is more crowded. I mean, literally, I have less time available.
You mean that you have begun the inevitable decline towards oblivion?
Yeah, that is it.
I believe an author once wrote to me.
That's a lovely storyteller once wrote. Yeah. And so you've got to make choices. You have to make decisions about what you're going to do. Every choice you make to do one thing is a choice to reject something else, or maybe lots of other things. But I think that's okay. I just want to make sure that I'm getting enough time and enough space to focus on what matters, and I'm not being deluged with stuff. So that's it. Less is more.
Less is more. That sounds like a really good theme. And now I wish I'd picked that. No, I don't actually, but that does sound like a really good theme. And I would like to be your spiritual Stacey Solomon, if I may.
Would you?
To accompany you.
I would love
this
that.
Goal. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you've never struck me as someone who accumulates a lot of objects, a lot of things.
Yeah, but what you're saying is this isn't really about
that's
clutter.
True, but
that
I think that is part. Yeah. That's a big part of it. It is a sort of. I'm an acquisitive person. We do strengths finders at work, and one of my strengths is learner and input, and they're all about gathering things in.
Yeah,
you know. So one of the things I've got to deal with is I've got just masses of information. I've got databases full of facts and stuff that I've been working on, and it's huge. And I'll never use it all. I'll never even know it's there.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, you know, I need to sort of clear the decks, really, mentally and physically.
How will you know if you've made progress on this goal?
That is a great question. I don't honestly know. I'm hoping I will have more clarity. I'm hoping that I will feel less frazzled by the world. I mean, in some senses I'm already doing it, because as you know, I've sort of stepped away from reading the news quite a lot. I think the difficulty is getting that balance between sort of withdrawing completely from the world, as it were, and knowing enough to inform your prayers and your actions and all those kinds of stuff. So I don't honestly know how I'll feel at the end of it. That's a good question. I think I need to do it, really.
Sure. Well, we'll come back to this like every couple of months and just see how things are going.
Well, thanks, Stacey. That'd be great.
Pleasure.
So what have you got for me, my spiritual declutterer?
So, you know, I don't know whether you know this, but I'm 60 now.
You barely mentioned it.
There's one of those moments you just pause and take stock and for all kinds of reasons, really. You think, oh, I've still got a bit of health and life and energy and I want to give myself to something good. So I was thinking sort of in this season, what's actually hindering me? What's holding me back? What's perhaps some of the biggest obstacles to me flourishing? And I decided it is fear still.
Mm.
And so my theme for the year is going to be fear not. I've called it fear not because I think we recognize those words from the Bible, from angels, appearing to Mary and saying fear not. And, you know, it's a bit of a theme through the Bible. I think one way or another, there's probably a couple of hundred references to not fearing or fearing not or something. And whilst you can know that, you know, the question is, well, do you fear not or do you fear? And I decided that this last year, something that has really got a little bit of a grip on me. And I feel quite shameful talking about it, really, because, you know, as a Christian, you're not supposed to worry and you're supposed to trust Jesus and all that sort of thing. So I think I'm acknowledging something somewhere in my formation has gone a little bit wrong over the last year, because I found myself at times as anxious and fearful, particularly around money and stuff, which is, you know, just stupid, but more than ever. I mean, you and I have both worked for Christian organizations. I mean, you lived by faith. Do you remember that? That basically meant not having a salary and not really knowing where the money was coming from. And I managed to, I wouldn't say I wasn't fearful of it, but I coped really easy. And now I sort of pay myself a salary. I seem to be more fearful. Something's gone wrong.
Yes.
Something has definitely got wrong. My speculation is that the grief of the past year has probably played a part in that. I'm not quite sure how, but it feels to me a little bit irrational. There's something here, and it is stopping me flourishing. It's sapping me of energy. It's dragging me down a bit. And, you know, I think, you know, if I make the mistake of watching the 10 o'clock news, you know, there's a great, great danger then that fear will grip me again. And my head spins off worrying about the world news and what does this mean? And, you know, I'm going to have a grandchild coming to the world. What kind of world is my grandchild being born into? Blah, 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 blah. It's easy to spiral. So I think I want to examine it. I want to look dispassionately at myself. I want to notice when I'm getting fearful. I want to try and understand what the triggers for fear are. And I want to learn what are the best ways to counter fear when it raises its head, without denying it, without suppressing it, pushing it down, but to be able, I think, after a year of sticking with a theme like fear not, to say, well, yeah, I've read about fear. I understand fear a bit more, but I understand myself a lot more, my triggers, and I'm learning to not give too much weight to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think somehow there's a link between my fearfulness and loss and grief.
I'm sure there is, yeah. Because what is it we fear most?
Yeah.
It's losing what we love.
Yes.
You know, whether that's our sort of security and safety or loved ones or or our youth or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. And I heard a great quote this week. Only one book in the Bible is named after an emotion. Lamentations. That's just a good little soundbite that I quite enjoyed.
I don't know. I feel a bit Thessalonian at the moment. I don't know about you.
Feel a bit Kingsy, a bit not too Kingsy. It doesn't work.
No, but I think that's a really interesting one. I'd love to carry on talking to you about it, because I think for me, I've been thinking a lot about fear for years, you know, and read books on it and struggled to actually deal with an anxiety that probably came on similar sort of time, perhaps a bit earlier. And one of the things I've been thinking about recently is can we live in a world of uncertainty without fear? Because we have to have uncertainty. I read this great quote by Ursula Le Guin, the sci-fi writer, actually, who said that the opposite of uncertainty is death, basically. That actually great. Uncertainty and really uncertainty is what brings life.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, if you knew everything that was going to happen, what a terrible life that would be. What a dreadful... You'd never get a joke, for one thing.
Yeah.
Because you'd always know the punchline. You know, I've often thought about this with God. Has God got a sense of humour? Because if you know all that's happening in time, you've seen the punchline. But anyway, that's a theological issue. But
come back to that.
So can we live with uncertainty that is life-giving, but without fear, which is life-draining?
Yeah.
And that I think is a huge challenge personally.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
But I think it's true. I have seen it in you. I think this year has taken its toll on you.
Yeah, it has. And I haven't felt, you know, I've been a bit out of sorts, haven't I? I think in terms of practical, you know, because the danger is, you know, this could be an immensely sort of navel-gazing exercise where I go into therapy and, you know, just spend all my time thinking about what's going on inside me. But when we were talking about the sacraments recently, it was three or four episodes ago, I think, wasn't it? And I didn't say then, but I think the greatest sacrament is kindness. You know, there's something about, you know, we've talked before about why kindness makes me cry. When I see kindness, you know, it can often make me quite tearful because I think I recognise the holiness of that, that when I witness an act of kindness, I'm seeing something of God in action, and the love of God is this holy ground, you know. So I think one of the ways I want to be very conscious of sort of not just going inside my head and getting stuck there is to remember that the action of kindness is always kind of transformative, not just for the person you're being kind to, but to yourself as well. I mean, so I haven't always known what does it look like to not fit. You know, you could just make this a very cerebral activity, which I don't think would help me particularly. Because I know I'm worried. I know I get a bit fearful. I know I'm getting a bit anxious, too much so. So I want to try and up my kindness levels the year. That should be a thing I could measure somehow.
Yeah. I think you do need practical things, though, don't you? Because I think that the mental thing of just saying, well, I'm not going to be scared now, doesn't really work.
No, it's not going to work.
So... the things I've found useful are sort of mindful activities, things which occupy your brain, but which they occupy your brain with the thing rather than with everything else that was flooding in, and altering the amount of external stimuli that come in.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is a sort of radical acceptance of your own fear. Just go, oh, well, there it is.
Yes. Yeah, it's
going to happen. But how do I deal with it? So I think maybe one of the challenges there is to find out what are those actions, what are those physical things that you do.
I do think it means having a grown up faith. Another quote I saw recently is, "Has God changed, or have we just grown up enough to hear a grown up God?" And we've talked about this before. Like I know we were missold our Christianity policy when we thought Jesus would just bring us joy and peace and happiness, and we bounce around like fluffy bunnies for the rest of our lives, full of praise and joy. And we've talked about that a lot of times. But I think part of having the grown-up faith for me and a grown-up God is knowing, okay, so God's not going to take challenges from me. You know, life is, a certain amount of life involves suffering, a certain amount of life involves pain and hardship. But there's also glorious stuff as well, and wonderful stuff, and many reasons to worship. So I think it's just trying to have that more balanced approach. God is in all of this. There's no bit where God is. God is in the tears of crying when you've lost someone, but God is in the joy you experience when you look at the sunset. And God is in, and God is in this relationship, and God is in this moment where the cheese is flowing and the texture
flowing
is
cheese.
Perfect.
No. Well,
if it's a ripe brie, it could be. It could be rolling.
That's true, actually. Like a lava. But, you know,
so I think I used to, you know, as a 7 on the Enneagram, I think I always thought life had to just be joyful and happy. That's all that matters. And I think I'm happy to rest with the difficult stuff that life throws with you and the sadness of it. And as you get older, more death around and all that stuff. But what I just would like to ditch as much as possible is the irrational fear and anxiety. That seems to me it ought to be possible. And if I've understood Jesus' teachings about the kingdom of God, Jesus seemed to indicate that it was entirely possible to live without that kind of anxiety and fear. So if that's something Jesus is saying, and I still want to try and take seriously the teachings of Jesus, then I want to explore that as much as I possibly can.
Well, I mean, certainly Jesus spoke about fear a lot and used those words, fear not, all the time. Mm. And there was something about what he was and what he did that actually caused people in a way to be uncertain, to be anxious, you know, because they didn't know what was going to happen. They weren't used to this inbreak of the divine into their world. So I think it can be unsettling, but I think it also shows he perfectly understands what are the most fundamental emotions of humanity is to be scared. So look, I hope that goes really well for you.
Thank you.
And I'm sure it'll be a really interesting journey.
Yeah.
With lots of ups and downs, I imagine. But I think it sounds really interesting.
And just to ask for some help back from everyone, you know, if there's something that has really helped you, maybe it's a book or a practice or, you know, some way of engaging with the divine where you've thought, that really helped me conquer fear. And anxiety, whether it's about money or relationships or whatever it is, please send me an email, joe@midfaithcrisis.org. You might not get a quick response because I don't know whether I mentioned or going away for a few weeks, but it would be lovely to hear. I'd really appreciate that. And also to hear what your themes are going to be this year. Who knows? We might be able to recommend something for you.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. Thank you very much for listening.
Yes. We'll
be back with you in a couple of weeks' time with an interview.
Yeah.
As I say, thank you for your attention and your time. That's wonderful. Thanks to those who recommend the podcast. Thank you to everyone who supports us. That's been a real wonderful thing this year.
Yeah, it really has.
And
thank you. We
will be back with you soon. Joe, do you have anything to bless us with as we go?
Well, do you know what? I've been working on a blessing for the fearful and for the kind. So there you go.
Oh, lovely.
Okay. Well, dear people, may you be held in the deep embrace of peace, even when the world trembles around you. May your heart, though heavy with sorrow, find the strength to keep loving, to keep hoping, to keep shining light into dark places. When fear rises like a tide, may courage rise within you stronger still. When despair whispers that kindness is too small, may you remember that even the smallest flame pushes back the night. Blessed are you who weep for the world, for your tears are prayers, and your compassion a holy gift. Blessed are you who long to be a blessing, for even now your love is making a difference. May you walk gently, speak truthfully, and love boldly, trusting that no kindness is wasted and no act of love is unseen. And may you know deep in your soul that you are not alone. Peace be with you, always.